God always, isn't he kind?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he patient?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he full of mercy?
Yes.
And love?
Yes.
Don't you love when he brings something to your attention that you've been avoiding for so long? And maybe perhaps even started many projects in hopes to never go back to that subject again? And, you know, meaning you keep yourself busy so you don't have to deal with the well, the elephant in the room. And as I was, I don't have the message, and today I didn't have the message, and as I was driving, he started to talk to me about character. And I'm glad he didn't ask me how my character is, because if he did, I'd be in big trouble, you know? That's like, oh, that means there's something to work on. And yes, there is something I'm working on. And in fact, I'll just be very honest. There's two things the Lord brought up to my remembrance today that it's time to deal with. And so that's just me personally. But how we got here is you haven't heard the word of the month yet unless you are an MP3 or happen to have time. And it's so funny because it's parallel to the word of the month. And it talks about, could you turn the heat down just a hair? I turned it up too much. It talks about, in the word of the month, being a pillar in the temple. And, you know, there's many things, and shaking and stuff. And we saw many, many people fall last year. And we never rejoice when someone falls. And we don't normally see public exposure until it's like the last opportunity, so to speak. If you're old, you know that. And if you're young in the Lord, you might not know that. But how it works is the Lord gently tries to woo us, to correct us, to change some things that are not godly. And, you know, I had an opportunity. It's funny how the enemy works. He tries to strategically plan a sabotage, and oftentimes we're not aware of it. But if we're aware of the Holy Spirit, that still small voice. And I had an opportunity to go away with a couple of my friends for my birthday, and the Lord specifically told me not to do one thing. And it's not something I'm prone to, but I thought, okay. And there was a moment where I thought, oh, maybe I will. And I remembered the Holy Spirit saying no, and I didn't. And I was talking to Holly today, and she said, you know, I had the strangest warning the other day, and it had to do with some of the team. And I knew exactly what she was talking about, because if I would have done that little nonchalant thing, it would have caused the doorway to open to the enemy. And I want to be sharp in the spirit. I don't like when there's an opportunity to be sluggish. And I'm not saying I got it made. I don't. I'm in major correction mode right now. And that's probably why he's letting me talk on it, because as I work this out with him, this might shake some things in us of some casual things that we just do or we can't manage, and we've tried to manage, and oh well, I'm just giving up because I've been this way for 60 years and I can't change it, and God hasn't struck me dead, so oh well. You know, I'm just giving some conversation of possible thoughts that you may have had in your head, or it can't be that bad because, you know, I'm still married. You know, it can't be that bad. My kids still talk to me. You know, weird, you know, conversations to justify behavioral lifestyles that are ungodly. And so today, as I was talking to the Lord about character, I got like a major lesson in character building. And I was brought back to the beginning of when I met Jesus. And, you know, I needed major character correction. I mean, I used to steal, rob, you know, sleep around. I did everything, you know, drugs, all of it, and never even gave it a second thought. And, you know, I'm ashamed to admit this. I stole from my family money, you know, when I was young and doing drugs. I made restitution on everything, of course, but my word meant nothing. And, you know, you can get away with that when you're living a wild lifestyle and you don't know the Lord. But when you come to meet Jesus, what happens is there's an encounter that takes place and a transaction that happens in the spirit realm, and it manifests into the earth, and it causes a desire to be purified. We can't be purified because we want to be purified. Oh, yeah, change me today, Lord. It doesn't work that way. But what happens is there's a link in the spirit, and that's what I want to focus on today. Last week we talked about what's really going on. I want to talk about character and what's really going on, because I think it will help us. Hey, that's the title right there. We always say, what's the title this week? And we're, anyway, what is really going on is when you were born again, you were reimaged back into factory condition, like you were refurbished. You were brought new, made whole, cleansed by His blood, and you know, brought into the kingdom of God. So you, whether you believe it, know it or not, you have been translated into the kingdom of light. You know, been cast out of the darkness. Even though you're still dragging darkness on you, does anybody have darkness that they're dragging around still? Okay, we're being honest. Yay. Okay, good. Because yeah, we do. And but is it a demon? Who cares?
Right.
Let's not analyze what it is. Let's press into the glory of the kingdom of God. Because if we can break through the realm of the glory, if we can break through the measurements of the flesh and just catch a gaze of the love of the Father, or maybe the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, because there's stages and steps in your development in God. And the first one is, you may, and this is, there's no order, you may hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, or you may have dreams and visions, or you may have encounters in the spiritual realm. It doesn't matter. The book may come alive. There's no set way on how to walk out of darkness except for in the love and light of God. And so as I've been dealing with some issues, you know, over my life, you know, okay, y'all know I used to swear like a truck driver, right? And so does that mean, was that a demon? Or was that a stronghold? Or was that generational? You know, does it matter? Sometimes, when you're trying to get free, sometimes it matters. What matters is the heart. And that's what I want to talk about, is the heart. If I justified, well, I can say every swear word under the sun, who cares? I was raised that way. That does not glorify the kingdom of God. Now, we are agents that represent the kingdom of God, the government of God. We represent Him, whether we know it or not, we represent Him. And so our character of heaven starts to manifest as we spend time in the Word and in His presence. It overshadows us, it cleans us, it causes effortlessly changing things to take place, which I find phenomenal. I just think that's so cool. And here's the thing, that's the right order in the kingdom of God. But what many people do is they join a club, they download the book, they get in a self-help group, and I'm not saying any of that's bad, but I found a secret way to walk in victory, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that really brings forth change in my life. And so I tried the programs. I've been to a gym a couple times. I've been on diet plans so many times I can't count. I have done pretty much all kinds of weird stuff, supplements, to bring health to my body. You know what really brings change? The love of the Father. I can measure myself in the natural and say, okay, I'm not having sugar today. I'm not having sugar today. And I'm using my example. I could go into some deeper stuff. This doesn't matter. Gluttony is gluttony. You know, gossip is gossip. They still fall under the fall, okay? And so I'm not being chained to that stuff in the natural. But if I'm trying to manage it in the natural, I'm chained to it in the natural. And that's the great deception. See, we try to do things to look good on the outside, but meanwhile, we've got issues in our heart. Who doesn't have an issue in here that they want to work on today? Anybody alive in here today? Okay, so we got half people that are in, or some are like, I'm not sure. Listen, do you see Jesus Christ when you look in the mirror?
No.
Then you need to change some things in your life. Okay? So now who wants to work on some stuff? There we go. Okay, we got two people that don't. That's okay. We'll get you in a little more, I promise. So here's the thing. Sin is designed to entice us into bondage. Love is designed to bring forth His victory into the earth. The two cannot fight against each other. They don't. There's no way. And so we get caught into this earthly system of how to change ourselves. And I'm not saying diet and exercise are not good. Yes, we need to discipline our bodies. Don't get caught up on that stuff, oh, you religious spirit. Let me help you come free and walk in victory, okay?
Yeah.
So, ooh, somebody was like, that was mean. No, it's not. Okay, I was in Proverbs. This is what the Lord said. He said to me, ooh, he gave two heavy, heavy ones that I'm going to be working on. And you know when it happened? When I walked to the bathroom, he made it so plain that I've been trying to deal with stuff in the flesh, and I failed miserably. And this is what I'm going to do. When I go home tonight, I'm going to die to those things. I'm going to lay on the floor, and I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice, and I'm going to do the great exchange. And I'm going to walk in victory because I can't do it or I would have done it already with these two areas that he's highlighted right now. Are there other areas? Of course there are. But these are the two we're working on now. We've already worked on the stealing, the swearing, the drugging, you know, all that other stuff. And now today we're on this. And so I really feel like, let me read you a scripture real quick. You know, and I had to grab it off of my phone here. It's 2 Timothy, that's the wrong thing. Screenshot, okay. 2 Timothy 2:20-21. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We want to be prepared for every good work, right?
Right.
So how do we do it? Anybody got an idea?
We ask the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's good.
Anybody else?
Give it to God.
Give it to God? Nope. Anybody else?
Present yourself as a living sacrifice.
Okay, so, what?
Surrender.
Yeah, these are components. The first key is awareness, and I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit has been knocking on your heart to change some issues in your heart that are long overdue and justified, and they could possibly even be familiar spirits. Yikes. Yes?
Say a little prayer to raise awareness in case.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And we're also going to end up dealing with this before we
right.
leave. I'm not waiting until tonight.
Like
but yeah.
People, you know,
absolutely.
Maybe even me.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
We present ourselves as living sacrifices.
As living sacrifices.
We ask you to show us
what area
in our life that you want to deal with. Because we want to be vessels
of honor,
not dishonor.
We want to be holy,
sanctified,
and used for your good pleasure.
So show us, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, God has been trying to work on me these two issues, and the enemy strategically has kept me busy and almost blinded to these two issues. And it's almost like a spirit of forgetfulness would come on me, and I would be like, oh, yeah, we were going to deal with that this week. And then this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And are they good things or bad things? Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not what God wanted me to be doing. And so, Holy Spirit,
I'm asking you now
to put a stake in me so that I am not swayed to the left or to the right.
What you tell me,
I don't want to forget.
Give me
a shaking
and a quickening
of what it is.
And I thank you for that.
Amen. Okay, so these two things have been, so you remember how I always talk about the little foxes that spoil the vine? This is like a little fox that's spoiling the vine. And so as we're going through this week, God is like, I feel like there's a grace for character assassination. And what I mean by that is to kill the dead flesh and bring up the glory of God in us. And we have to stop pretending, and we have to step into the kingdom realm of God, because that's where our true identity comes from. Oftentimes we're told who we are. We get labels of whatever they are. You know, I don't even want to speak them because they're negative. Or maybe they're positive. You're very good at this. You're very good at that. But what is your true identity in Jesus Christ? Who are you for the kingdom of God? Who are you in the government of God? And what are you supposed to be doing now? And we need to get prepared, guys. And this character cleansing, or this character shaking, or this character awakening is there's a season to address these little foxes and to walk victoriously. And so I was like thinking of the things that, because here's what happens. Well, I don't do that anymore. Well, I don't do that anymore. I haven't done that in years. But are you operating in the realm of glory? Or are you operating in the flesh and comfortable, dulled down, because the familiar spirits are speaking to you?
Right.
I'm just saying it. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing it. I'm just saying it. And so some of you are like, what is she talking about? Just hold on. You don't even need to know at this point. Just be aware that God is removing a veil by the power of the Holy Ghost to see what he wants to deal with instead of what you want to deal with. Pride is the number one thing that blinds us to the presence of the King and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Pride knows best. Pride blinds. Pride is often run or runs parallel with a religious spirit in spirit-filled believers. It dulls them down, keeps them lukewarm, because they got it. We've seen what happens when people say, I got it, I'm used by God. We see them, if there's not a character assassination on their old dead life, and the old dead life is ruling, meaning the flesh is ruling, and there's a commingling of spirit and flesh, there's going to be a crash and a burn and a fire, and then there's going to be fallout with confusion, because that is actually a work of witchcraft. And whenever there's confusion, there's witchcraft. And whenever there's witchcraft, there's familiar spirits. Whenever there's witchcraft, there's pride, rebellion. Whoa, do we have witchcraft in the room tonight? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. So I want to read a proverb tonight, and here's the thing. There's a familiar spirit called condemnation. And he likes to say, that's you, that's you, that's you. Bind that damn thing now. I am so sick of cowtailing around that thing so I don't offend a believer. God wants us whole.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if you deal with condemnation, this is what you do. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You will not operate. You have no control over my mind, my thought, or my actions. Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but do say it, because it has to obey, because you have authority over
that's
every
right.
work of darkness.
Amen.
And that's darkness.
Yeah.
And when you start talking to that thing and commanding it, it's no different than training a puppy. You train it to sit, stay, and go.
That's right.
So as I read these proverbs, I don't want you to freak out, and I don't want you to go into condemnation, because listen, first let me just say this. Your parents did the best they could, okay? I'm just going to say it. They were broken. They're in a process just like you and me are, okay? They came out of darkness too, or maybe they're still in it, but they're on their way out. Don't judge them.
Right.
You reap what you sow.
That's right.
I know a man. He was such a nasty person, so condescending. And I know the person, the woman. She bowed and cowtailed and kept quiet and stayed shy. And the relationship split. The man remarried, and he's now cowtailing and shy, and the woman is now condemning and speaking nasty things over there. You reap what you sow. It's shocking. I see it, I watch it, and I go, I can't believe I'm seeing this. It is a kingdom principle. So be careful about judging and the words we speak. That is probably the one thing that all of us need to guard a little tighter. You know, we get loose sometimes. You know, because we don't get struck by lightning when we say, oh, geez, you know, blah, blah. You know, but listen, I'll tell you a weird story. I had a contractor I hired, landscape guy, paid him half down. He gave me his word. I signed a contract. He did a little bit of work, and the work he did wasn't that great. And he never came back. And it's been since the early spring, and I hired him in the fall. So he just was terrible at it. Well, I started saying he was dead because he just never responded. I thought the guy died. He had to have died. What kind of person would run a business and never, you know, finish? And all his material was left out. I had to clean it up. I mean, his tool, a nice Milwaukee saw, laying out for 2 months in the rain, a couple other pieces. So, of course, you think he died. Wouldn't you think that? You don't think he just forgot. And so, you know, months go on and I got the unction to call him yesterday, and he answered his phone. Now, see, he wouldn't answer his phone anytime I called before, and even when I sent him text messages with the video of saying, hey, this is still a problem, he never responded. That's why I thought he died. And so when I called him and he answered, I was shocked that he answered the phone. I said, I've been telling people you're dead. I said, I break those words right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life over you. And, you know, because I really thought he was dead. And so, you know, we talked and, you know, he gave me some excuses, and I blessed him and, you know, put all the stuff in a pile. He was supposed to come today, and he hadn't yet. But that man has a character problem in work ethics. And as I was talking to an electrician last night who hired a couple guys, and they won't show up for work. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking that those are character traits that are really unproductive, both for the kingdom of God and in the natural. And I started thinking about it today, and I was thinking about your true identity. If you don't know who you are, you'll be swayed by the ways of this world. And right now, the ways of this world is don't work, let the government feed you. Don't show up. You don't feel like it today, you got a headache, stay home. Poor baby. You know, we've demasculated the men. Oh boy, we're going here. Truthfully, look around the church. Who is running the committees? Mainly women. Where are the men? They're at home. They're at home because they lost their because the wife took over the man's role. There is a false identity. I'm not talking about you guys in here. Hello. You're here. But look around the church, the global church, the men don't come. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you a few reasons. Because Satan has sowed lies and deception. There's power in men. Men, we need men.
That's right.
Okay? I've seen when a man, women negotiate completely different than men.
That's true.
I've seen when a man comes into a negotiation, the atmosphere shifts. And there's respect automatically granted. And that is right order in the kingdom of God and into the natural. We need our men to come back, but their identity has been stolen by the ways of the world through the years of media, through the years of propaganda that has been programmed and thrown down our throats, whether it be through TV back in the old day or our cell phones now or YouTubes or whatever. The TV shows were designed to take away. Think back to Mary Tyler Moore. Think back to Dick Van Dyke. Think back to the old days when they started to shift the narrative, you know, what? Father knows best. Father used to know best, okay? And I know that show's corny now, but listen, there were values that were still from God that were coming out until the enemy got his foot into media and twisted. And now We're not even arguing over that. We're arguing over, are you a man or a woman? Or do you feel like a man today or a cat today? How far have we come from the image of God?
Right.
Now listen, they're coming through those doors. I am prophesying. Men are going to come through those doors. Men that have lost their manhood are going to come through those doors. Men are coming back to church because they're broken and they're lost, and some of them are waking up to the enemy, the scheme of the enemy. They have value. We need the men. We need them. We need the young people. There's a revival going on with the young people. We need them. But they need to know who their true identity is. We cannot afford to put on a show.
Come on.
We cannot afford to feed them coffee and tell them that they're okay.
Yeah.
We need to tell them who their true identity is, and we need to do some character cleanup.
Yeah.
That's so good.
But it starts with us first.
Yeah.
We have to get cleaned up.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Tove, is that how you say it? A couple months ago.
Yeah.
I was so, what?
I
was so impressed with the manhood in that place.
Yeah.
You could feel the men. And they loved Jesus. They loved the broken. That is a community that has figured it out. And they don't have the stages and the mirrors and the tight, well, they do have some people wear tight jeans, but they're not in it for the flashy. They're in it for the wholesome soul to bring redemption, to let them learn how the kingdom of God operates and how the mandate of heaven manifests through government. Now, some people don't like Ryan. I love him. He's a brother in Christ. Don't judge him.
Amen.
He's in a different vein than I'm in, and I'm in a different vein than you're in, and I'm not judging your vein. Don't judge mine.
That's good.
Everybody needs everybody in the body of Christ. If we're walking in true lordship, now, I can say he walks in true lordship. I've known him for years. Does he have issues? Yes. So do I.
Right.
And so do you.
Amen.
Whoa.
That's good.
Rabbit trail.
Can I?
Yeah.
I have a quick question before you read those Proverbs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just going to confess and tell myself, I had foul condemnation, shame, and guilt for many years. I was very unaware of it. So I was just wondering if before you read those, if you could, which one is this?
Switch.
Oh, okay.
If before you read those Proverbs, if you could just give some attributes of condemnation and what happens when you're sitting in a service like this and then you start reading and then that thing starts manifesting, like what are some of the thoughts that start happening? And by the way, I just want to say, you just talked about that story. What was that one you just, oh, about the poor construction guy, the landscape guy that left all his valuable stuff and walked away. And I just thought, wow, I mean, that's a parable of condemnation in the kingdom. Walking away useless, taken out.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, like, if I'm sitting here and that starts manifesting, like, how am I going to know? Because I feel like there's people in here that want to know.
Okay, first, keep that mic. First thing is, with that guy, I did not yell at him. I did not shame him. I asked him how he was feeling because the last time I saw him, he broke his nose, and I wondered if it was affected his brain. You know, like, did he get a concussion? And I could tell he was embarrassed. But I thought, I own businesses, and I've run companies, and I'm like, how can you not know there's an outstanding bill? And his forklift is, not his forklift, but the attachment for a forklift is there. I'm thinking, plus another thing which ended up, we don't know where that ended up, but how do you not know that you left the job site? You know, I want to mentor him and teach him how to run a company because he's got potential. But, and I know he's a Christian, but I thought, I'm going to love him regardless. But I also said, I'm not giving you one more cent because there's a, you know, we paid half down, but he didn't fulfill his contract. And I ended up, and some of my friends, we ended up redoing a lot of the work and finishing this stuff. And he couldn't even remember everything that wasn't done. And that's been done so long. I'm like, and, you know, so I just started rattling off what I could. But anyway, we represent God. Even if somebody knows God, we don't get into preachy, judgy mode. he's obviously got issues. And when he comes, if there's, I'm going to have my antenna up. If there's an opportunity to minister to him, I'm going to minister to him. But what if he's got witchcraft on him and he's full of confusion? What if some Christian did some Christian witchcraft on him?
Wow.
What if he was in a relationship and his, you know, his girlfriend, they broke up and she joined a cult and now they're trying to give spells on him? We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. So let's go back to the original question. So, Kim, you I think you know it best because you've sat in these meetings forever, and you know what it's like when condemnation or judgment, you feel that spirit come on you, but you don't know it's that spirit because it's so familiar that you've had it all your life. But it causes, the thing that happens is it causes you to shut down and go into shame. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just like the guy walking off your property. I'm no longer really even in this room, but I don't even know that.
Yeah.
I'm checked out and thinking about all the terrible things in my life.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about someone else who might have the issue instead of me because judgment likes to run with it.
Yeah.
So it's preventing and blocking my freedom and my growth. And I leave here worse off than when I came because I'm angry and shut down like the devil's now saying you suck so bad it's never going to get better.
Yeah. So you're mad at God.
So then I'm mad, probably mad at God. Don't know it, but I am.
Yeah.
I'm not like that anymore.
No, I know. We've worked through this.
I mean, only the Holy Spirit's giving this back to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there knowing these things. So if you have this, you're not sitting here knowing these things, but get your antenna up so that if and when it starts happening in about 5 or 10 minutes, you're like, oh, that's what that is, because I was too dull and I didn't know.
Okay.
And around the barn I went.
Yeah, I know. Thank
and
you,
I
Jesus. The barn is gone.
It's gone.
There is no barn anymore. I used to say that to Kim. I see you going around the barn again. And she's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I, you know, I don't know. I just see in pictures, you know. That's what I was seeing. And she'd get mad. But here's what she'd do. She'd ask the Holy Ghost. She'd say, what is going on? And she'd, you know, she'd pound it out and get mad and pound it out and get stuck and pound it out. But here's the thing. She kept pounding it out with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And she wouldn't quit. And if you don't quit, you always get the breakthrough, if you faint not. But sometimes we are like, I'm just done with it. I'm tired of it all. It's never going to get better. Those are lies.
Yep.
And you know where those come from? The natural realm. God wants us to come up higher. If we can get out of the natural realm and get a vision, you know, all it takes is one encounter.
Yeah.
And you're done with this earth. You realize it's all a lie. It's all tricks. And none of it matters. You know, here's the thing. Death has no sting. You got to get to that place. And it starts with yourself. You know, if I died today because I've died to my pleasures, my ways, my dreams, my idols, because I met the living King. I met the one that I was chasing all my life and didn't know it. Because I got tricked into all this other stuff. It's called being captive. When you meet him, freedom comes. Because he's all about resurrection. He can't help it. Think about it. When he was in the grave, okay, when they crucified him and he went down, okay, how many people came out of the graves? You couldn't keep a dead man down because of the power of the resurrection that he walks in. We have that resurrection power. And I release the resurrection power through your body and mind right now. I command resurrection power come forth in the name of Jesus. Whoa. Come forth, spirit of condemnation. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have no say. Go now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, spirit of lust, I bind you right now. You cannot operate. I command a oneness in the spirit with the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. The Father and the Son come as one. I command right now the Father and you, every person listening, every person here, the Father and you come as one into eternity, the realm of his glory. Come up higher into his presence and see, taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see the presence and power of the living King. Come up, come up. Don't stay down. Oh, I cut in a spirit right now. Thinkers, thinkers. You know what? Thinkers, stinkers. Thinkers, stinkers.
Yes.
They will not work together. That's a smell of the flesh, and we don't want it in here. I cut your thinking right now, your natural carnal thinking. I cut it right now. Oh, call on the grace of God. We call on the grace of God.
Yeah.
We call on his grace to help us overcome our stupid, wicked flesh. Ooh, it's getting a little uncomfortable for a few of you in here. But God, through his mercy and grace, is coming, and he's overtaking those little teeny boulders, which you think are real high. They're just little pebbles in the spirit. And right now I blow the wind of God and knock down every natural barrier that has been sent to preserve you from feeling. Be numb no more. Feelings are from God. Jesus wept. Jesus was a man who wept. He knew sorrow. He knew grief. He knew joy. We take his presence. We take his mantle. We take his DNA and say, yes, have your way in me right now. Yes, have your way in me right now. When you say that, you're inviting him in. It's called interactive. It's not through wishing or thinking. It's called words have license and power. Have your way in me now, Jesus. Father, show me your glory. Father, teach me how to walk in the realms of your glory. Teach me about the mantles. Teach me about the governments. Teach me how your systems work. Let me be a steward. Let me be a vessel for your good pleasure. Do with me as you will. How about that, Kim? Did we deal with it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in Proverbs, and I'm in the Passion Bible. And so we're going to read a couple things that talk about character. 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 I hear it ringing in the spirit. Character. God's doing something with character. I'll take the character of God right now. Okay. You know, the book of Proverbs is a manual on how to live today. It is filled with treasures and a map on how to walk in the blessings of God. It's how his realm operates. A simple, humble life with peace and quiet is far better than an opulent lifestyle with nothing but quarrels and strife at home. A wise, intelligent servant will be honored above a shameful son. He'll even end up having a portion left to him in his master's will. In the same way that gold and silver are refined by fire, the Lord purifies your heart by the tests and trials of life. Tests and trials bring character up. It causes what's in our heart to manifest so we know, aha, I got to work on that. And my favorite one to share is when I was going through the transition of losing everything, had no money, and Edgar Bailey said to me, how come you don't paint your toenails? And I said, because I'm poor. Came out so fast. And then at that moment, I'm like, oh, that's an issue. I got to deal with that because I'm not poor. The word says I'm rich. All the treasures are mine. And so I went to the Lord, and I had to spend a lot of time in the Holy Ghost classroom to learn what lies I was believing, replace them with the Word of God, and then speak on those words until my character came to true north, true center in Christ. So did my character change? I don't know if it changed, but I know it dialed into the Spirit of the living God, and that's where our characters need to be dialed into. So I could read this Proverbs and go on, and I'm going to, because there's some things in here that when you go through a test, you know, I went through a trial, stupid trial, about a month ago. We were setting up sound at Allen's Park. Had a team working out there unloading the truck, and all of a sudden the team was gone. And I'm like, what the heck? Where is everybody? Storm coming in? I thought, don't they know everything's going to get wet? It's best to get this stuff out of the truck. I go in there, and I'm like, where is everybody? And you would have thought my head was spinning backwards, because that's not the way I normally talk. It's out of my character. But it was in my character, and that needs to be dialed in to the kingdom of God. If I stay dialed into God, that stuff doesn't manifest, because who cares? I could command the clouds to stop or to go back, which is the better way than going into flesh mode. Get out here. Well, that's real holy. You know, I'm just saying, I'm telling you my stuff so that when you look at your stuff, you think, oh, I got it pretty good compared to her. You know, I'm kidding, but, you know, we need to stop being ashamed of our behavior. Shame comes from the enemy. It's not part of the kingdom of God. Shame is part of the fall. Jesus took shame on the cross. So resurrect yourself and walk in victory. Did you screw up today?
Yeah, probably did.
Resurrect yourself and walk in victory. Repent, turn away from sin if it's sin, and get your gaze on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. He will help you. The problem is we are too carnal. We're trying to get it done in the natural. It won't work. You can manage systems in the natural, and we need systems in the natural. But your kingdom beings called for greater purpose, and you can get a blueprint from heaven how to manage everything in the earth. Get it from God. Get it from God. Get it from God. You ever work on something? And it doesn't go your way, and out of your heart comes rah.
Yep.
Those are opportunities to repent and get back into the peace of God, the river of God. Listen, those character flaws are designed to bring forth you to change your response by going back into the Spirit and saying, what do you say about this, Lord? What are you doing? Because so often, if we just command the bolt to unloosen, it will unloosen. But we stay in the flesh and crank on it and crank on it and forget to use the power and authority that God gave us.
Right.
These are simple things, but we don't do them because they're simple. We got to do the simple stuff so that we can call manna down from heaven if we need it.
Right.
Or that we can be translated over to Bristol because we got to do something there. You practice the little stuff. How do you do it? You got to stay in the Spirit. We have to practice. And I'm not talking soaking. I'm talking living. Right now, I am in the Spirit.
Right.
When I was with my grandson earlier, I was in the Spirit. I came out for 2 seconds and got in the flesh. And guess what I said? Don't put your hands on me. They were all full of pizza. I got to go preach tonight, and I don't want my clothes dirty. And I thought, what am I saying? I said, honey, put your hands all over me. Who cares what I look like? Who cares if I got pizza hanging off my pant leg?
Right.
I had a little boy loving on me.
Aww.
We got to stay in the Spirit, and there's lots of practice. It starts with the small stuff, and it starts with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God quickening us to, ooh, I'm going to deal with that today. How do I deal with it? Only by your grace. I need your help and I need your plan. God gave me a plan. I'm going to look for it because I'm going back in my old notes and my old journals this week. God gave me a plan that was so brilliant and from heaven, you would have think I would have followed it? No, I didn't. And it was a plan to victory. And I have it in the Spirit in my mind, but I want word for word what he said because I wrote it down. It is a plan that will help the body of Christ. But I got too busy, and I put it off to the side, and I forgot to look at it.
Yeah.
Little foxes spoil the vine. And that plan is going to change my life. I'm ready for it now. Here I am, Lord. You gave that to me, I'm going to guess, 7 years ago. I didn't do anything with it. I talked a little bit about it, but Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to the Holy Ghost school, and I'm going to sit and ask the questions. Maybe I thought I could do it on my own, and I didn't need your plan. Sometimes there's a little bit of hidden pride or laziness, slothfulness, whatever it is,
yeah,
that we aren't even aware of. We have to, this is the season, I see it in the spirit like a belt tightening, but it's not really tightening. What it is, it's releasing. You know, in the natural, you'd think, oh, the belt is tightening, but what's happening is it's releasing character identity. We're going after character identity. And so, boy, I'm going to try and preach on this if I can. Let's see. Those eager to embrace evil listen to slander, for a liar loves to listen to lies. Now, let me just tell you something. I was with my son tonight for a little bit, and we were talking about Charlie Kirk, and my son's a patriot, and he was telling me some weird angle that I hadn't heard because I don't follow all the angles because I don't care because that's not my assignment. And he was telling me some stuff, and you know, I wasn't even intrigued by it. I didn't even want to look it up or understand it because you know what? It's evil slander. It's not important. It doesn't make a difference. We can try to figure out which direction the bullet came. We can try to figure out how many shooters there was or who the shooter was, but none of that will change your identity in Jesus Christ. Spend the time going after who you are in Jesus Christ. And guess what? When you go high enough, you see things. And you know things. And you don't speak on them because it's not your assignment. Unless it's your assignment. Then you deal with it by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and nobody knows a thing. Mock the poor, will you? You insult your Creator every time you do. Be careful. Be careful. God's got a special place for the poor people. Remember that scripture? When you lend to the poor, how's it go?
When you give to the poor, you
lend to the Lord. Yeah, I love that scripture. There's something special. When you give, when you sow seed into, you know, whatever he tells you to do, whether it's a, street ministry or a street person or, somebody in here that's struggling, when you do that, there's something about that seed. God looks on it completely different than any other seed. There's something about it. I've sowed seed, Pacific Missions, Pacific Gardens. I've sowed to them for many years. I don't right now because I don't feel led, but I sow other places now. I sow where he tells me to sow, and guess why? Because it's all his. Every penny is his. I steward it, and I want to be a good steward. You can always tell the character of a person when you give them money, what they will do with it. Long pause. Think about it. If God just handed you, $1,000 is nothing, but let's just say he gave you $1,000. What would you do with that? Now, right there, that could be an opportunity for some character correction or direction. In my old days, I would have said, I'll give $5 to the church, and I'm going to spend the rest on something fun. You know, my old days before I was saved, like when I was just a Christian by name and would go to church on Sunday whenever, and I was only tithing $10 because I didn't want to look like I wasn't giving anything. I don't tithe that way anymore. I had a character correction. I had a dialing in of who I really am in Christ and how I am a steward of his resources. When you get that, you'll never worry about finances. There's days when stuff happens and it looks horrendous in the natural. I don't worry about it. The enemy tries. He'll try to say, you shouldn't buy that. You can't afford that. What are you talking about? I don't live that lifestyle anymore. I don't ever live, can I afford anything? I ask the Lord. And if he says do it, do it. If he says don't do it, I don't do it. If he says wait, I wait. Now, have I been taken advantage of? Absolutely. But that's part of character dialing in, character correction. Have I trusted people I shouldn't? Absolutely. Am I to judge them? No. Was I able to bless them right away? It gets easier. The more you do it, the easier it gets. When somebody takes advantage of me, I don't take them to court. I take them to God. And I say, God, what do you say? And oftentimes he says, they need it more than you do. They got it by ill gains, but they need it more than you do. And I say, I'm counting it as a sow then.
Right.
It's a sow, because I'm sowing into their life, and they're in poverty, so I'm blessing them in a bigger way. You know, that's a good seed, especially if it's corrupt. You know, if they took it under corruption, you know, there's some legality in there. Well, if the thief is caught, he has to repay sevenfold. So I'm asking for a sevenfold return on what was stolen from me, even though it's a seed that I blessed him with. And I hold the Lord to those. I've got some pretty big ones out there still, but he's good for it. I remember when I walked away from it all and I lost my house and everything. And he said, I've got something that you don't even know I've got for you yet. And did it come the next day? No, it took a couple years. Did I grow weary? Yeah. But guess what? During that time, my character got built up. And trust was developed in a deeper way. I don't even know what time it is. I'm trying to get through this. Okay. If you make fun of others' misfortune, you'd better watch out. Your punishment is on its way. I've seen people do that, and I've watched them reap what they sow. I'm not kidding. It's not proper for a leader to lie and deceive, and don't expect excellent words to be spoken by a fool. So what I'm saying there is, if you're a leader, first of all, you're a leader in your home. You're a leader in the body of Christ. You know more than most people. There's no room for lying. Because what happens is the enemy gets in. When you open the door to any, when you justify any sin, any little bit, it opens the door for legal access because you've walked out of God's jurisdiction when you spoke that lie. Now, if it happens and you did it by mistake, repent. Or if you come to your senses, repent, close the door, and make things right. You know, I'm very careful what I speak. I lied to one person, I don't know, a few years back. I don't lie. I stopped lying many years ago. And I lied over something so stupid. The guilt got me so fast, but so did the enemy. You call yourself a Christian? And I went right to that person and said, I just lied to you, and I am so sorry. I don't know why I lied to you. And it was done. It was nipped in the bud. We have to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. Okay. Wise instruction is like a costly gem. It turns the impossible into success. Love overlooks the mistakes of others, but dwelling on the failures of others devastates friendships. One word of correction breaks open a teachable heart, but a fool can be corrected 100 times and still not know what hit him. Rebellion thrives in an evil man, so a messenger of vengeance will be sent to punish him. It's safer to meet a grizzly bear robbed of her cubs than to confront a reckless fool. You ever deal with a fool?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're so fun to deal with because they think they're so right. And they have no sound mind or reasoning, and because the demons are manifesting through them, and they don't even know it.
That's right.
Never argue with a fool.
Never.
And here's the thing. Sometimes a familiar spirit will jump on your spouse, and they'll start trying to get you to argue. Spirits transfer. They come and they go, and maybe one just happened to hit you, and you start this weird argument. You think, where did this even come from? Laugh. Laugh.
Yes.
Two things happen. Can I say pissed off?
Yeah.
You'll piss off the familiar spirit and the religious spirit because they're always tied together, and it'll shock your spouse because they'll be like offended that you're laughing.
Yeah.
But it will bring correction because you both are united as one in Christ.
That's so good.
Yes, yes.
Can you explain familiar spirit?
Okay.
Again?
Oh, sure. So, I don't want to get into a big teaching on it, but there are spirits that roam the earth. They're fallen angels, okay? There are demons that roam the earth, fallen angels. There's all kinds of evil witchcraft, words, curses that are spoke. Those are assignments sent by demonic forces agents of Satan. They are, could be a Christian, could be your mother, could be anybody. They're sent to cause destruction, and the enemy is looking for anybody he can use to grab their mouth. Remember Ephesians, watch, guard against the fiery darts? Those fiery darts are bullets in the spirit to cause damage. Familiar spirits are actual demons, and they're real, and they kind of sit next to you, sit on your shoulder, stand next to you, and they whisper in your ear things you want to hear. And they help you justify your behavior and actions. I had a familiar spirit bother me for many years. It would try to entice me in sin, and sometimes I'd cave, sometimes I wouldn't. It would never condemn me, like a lot of spirits try to condemn. This one wouldn't, because it knew if it could keep me in sin, I was kind of in the enemy's kingdom, so to speak. So it was smart enough not to send a condemning spirit. I've never dealt with a condemning spirit. But the day I recognized it was a foul spirit, because it was like blinding almost. It was dumbing me. And how I recognized it was, I was asking the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what's going on with this thing? You know, because I tried to cast it out. It kept coming back. Is there open doors? I didn't have any. Is it generational? I think it was. I don't know for sure, but I think it was. And I found out later that I know it was, but I didn't back then. And so I took authority. I made a decision in my heart, Lord, I don't think this is godly. I don't know what to do, but I need your help on this. And what he told me to do was command it to leave. And when I commanded it to leave, it left, and I've never been bothered. It tried to come back once when I was staying in someone's house, because they had it in their house. And I was like, no, the blood of Jesus. I poured the blood of Jesus around myself and against that thing, and it could not attack me. Does that help you at all? Does that make sense? Go ahead, Kim.
I missed one thing. Did you have to deal with it generationally? Or did
yes,
you?
I did. Okay. But I didn't know that. I didn't know, you know, because some sins are never talked about in your family line, is it?
Right.
No. And so I'm like at the age where my mom's old enough, she still knows what's going on, and she likes to talk about stuff. And so I never really cared about my family history. I just didn't care. And I do care now. I'm like, Mom, anybody in our family struggle with this or this or this? And she, oh, yeah, your dad, you know. I'd be like, oh, my God, I never knew that, you know, because they hide. And I'm a seer, but I couldn't see that. I did see some stuff on my dad, but this is not related to that. But,
yeah.
You know, so. I did, yeah. So I went back, you know, a few generations and repented. How to close the door? You go back a few generations. What do they say, four?
Yeah, four.
Four generations. Here's the thing. I'm not so formula. I'm like, Holy Spirit, how many are we going back? And we do it by the Holy Ghost. And so you go back and you repent on your parents' behalf, both sides, for blah, blah, and pour the blood of Jesus over it, render it null and void, And it closes that door. There's no legal access. So there's always a legal access. There's always a reason why something is bothering you. And a lot of times it's a familiar spirit or it's word curses. Those are the two biggies I see. That makes sense? Did that answer your question? Okay. So are you wondering, do you have a familiar spirit?
No,
anybody? Probably you do. I'm going to be honest. I've had to deal with a lot of them over my life. And, you know, familiar spirits, they're kind of your friend. You don't know that they're not of God because they've been with you all your life, so to speak, you know.
Because they're familiar.
Because they're familiar, yes.
Stuff and your weaknesses.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I'm not talking like, you know, sometimes people, I think sometimes people in the Catholic faith, you know, they have some different beliefs about, you know, whether or not you can talk to a relative when they pass on. I'm not even bringing that up, so don't confuse those two. They're not the same, okay? Although it would be a familiar spirit if a relative came to visit you, you know, chances are it's a familiar spirit, unless you're in the heavenly places, and you might see your relative up there, but if they're visiting you here in your bedroom, it's a familiar spirit,
right.
Okay? Does that help you? I wasn't going to talk about that, but I guess we needed to. Anybody else? Yes.
Just one. more super quick question.
Yeah.
So if I'm prone to maybe like strife, like arguing in my house, and I like it because then maybe, and if I'm always getting good arguments to the person that I want to be right with, or if I'm prone to other sin besides strife, I'm just trying to give examples of some things that a familiar spirit might.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Strife, absolutely. Strife, oftentimes it's a familiar spirit, and that's generational. It is generational. And the thing about strife always needs to be right, and there's a scripture that gives preference, give honor and preference to
the other.
The other. That's a good one to replace with strife if you are struggling with strife. That's a side
in
note
honor,
there.
In honor, you will give preference to others, and you will be kind.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah. So if you're struggling with strife, listen, strife is a big one in Christian marriages, and do we ever talk about it? No, everything's fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. Listen, I do the altar line. I know what goes on. And God wants to bless you and pull you out of the earth realm, the natural realm of strife, and bring you into the gardens of peace. Once you touch the garden of peace, you'll be like, I ain't doing strife no more. I found something better, honey. See you later. You know, I'm going into the secret place. And then you come back, and you when you come back, you're still there. You learn to live there. You don't come back and go to and from. You eventually learn how to manifest heaven on earth. That's what Jesus did. Remember when he said, I only see what my Father in heaven's doing. You know, and then he didn't see his Father in heaven fighting with, you know, an angel. They just didn't do that, you know, and so we're not doing that. We're not fighting. And so this brings me to another thing about a familiar spirit. This one I've actually seen in the room, so I'm just going to bring it up. And if you're going to say, is it me, it probably is. There's a thing, a need to be needed. Okay, I wasn't going there. That one just came out. That wasn't what I was thinking. So.
It's a Holy Ghost hijack.
Holy Ghost hijack. Woo-hoo. A need to be needed. And what that means is you're finding value in what you're doing for others. Like, I need you. I can't live without you. Or I'm going to do this for you, and then I'll be special. Need to be needed has a familiar spirit attached to it. God needs you. God wants you. You need God. Get God first, and then the needs flow from God, and the assignments flow from God. Otherwise, you'll be serving in places in the wrong places, and that causes burnout and decay and lack. Okay? So that was free, whoever that was for. You can raise your hand or not. I don't care. I know who it is. So, okay, here's one. Telling on your spouse. What? When you measure the growth of the spiritual growth of your spouse. You're like, listen.
It drives me nuts.
I know. When you, first of all, when you judge and you're elevating yourself. When you are like, well, I'm more spiritual than my spouse. Or this is what my spouse did today. And this is what I'm doing. Listen, it's between you and the Father. How you get things to change is between you and the Father. You don't have to come to me and tell me what your spouse did. I already know. I see them when they walk in the doors. Listen, your sin hangs on you. It hangs on you. It's a weight. But when you're judging your spouse, you're actually bringing division into your marriage, and you're elevating yourself above your spouse. And didn't we just say, give honor? So that's what we're going to practice. So if that's you, this is what I would do. Oh, Lord, that's me. I repent right now in the name of Jesus. I am so sorry. I didn't even realize I was doing that. Or, Lord, is that me? If so, show me. Give me a flash picture. And then there'll be like a whole book that opens up. Because it's not always one time. It's like a lifestyle because it's a familiar spirit. And so then you go to the Father, you repent, and you replace it with the blessing of God. And then you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize when that spirit, because that one is a stronghold, that one is a nasty one, and there's pride behind it, hidden pride. I hate hidden pride, and I hate it so much, I'll actually walk away when you're talking. So if you see that, that's you. Hallelujah. I'm giving away my secrets. So, because I can't stand when demons are talking. I just don't like it. And I'm too polite to say, shut up, get behind me, you know.
Right.
But I'm going to start because we got to grow up, guys. We got to come out of this little kindergarten stuff. And, oh, you're so good. Oh,
yeah,
come back next week. I don't care if you ever come back. I don't. I don't minister to you. I minister to him. And when I minister to him, it flows to you. That's the right order. I'm not up here to be seen. Listen, you know me. I don't care about ministry. I died to it. It was the last thing I had to die to in this room a year ago, 2 years ago. Remember when we closed down Swinghurst?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't know what we were doing or where we were going?
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, I'm putting you on the shelf.
Yeah, I thought, 3 years ago.
I thought, oh, I'm going on the shelf. Yay. I didn't want to, I wasn't like, oh, Lord, no, we need to find another meeting. I'm like, Lord, you do with me whatever you want. I don't care. And I thought, wahoo, I just get to be with him some now for extra more. And it was like, yay. And then the day came when we were like, oh, we're supposed to do meetings again. He was testing my heart to see if I had any hidden pride. And guess what? I passed. Am I too proud to say I passed? No, because I'm telling you, there's victory in the Holy Ghost. I've been through so many trials and errors and failures, but you know what? I keep coming, and I keep trying to obtain his mercy and grace to press on for another day, because I don't minister to get a from you guys. I don't. But I had to learn to recognize when somebody gives a compliment. I used to be like, it's all him, it's all him. No, it's him flowing through me. Thank you. But I go home and I say, Lord, I don't measure myself. I don't say, Lord, how did I do? I say, Lord, how'd we do tonight? Was there anything I should do different? I don't keep the glory, and I'm not prideful. And we got to watch that, because that's what's being shaken right now in the body of Christ. Ooh, they used me today. Oh, they didn't use me today. It's flesh. And guess what? It reaps corruption.
Yes.
If we're never used, it doesn't matter. Because really, it's the pipeline to the throne of grace. That's all that matters. Everything flows from that. It doesn't flow through some teaching we learned or some gospel we heard. It flows through relationship with him first. Instead, otherwise it's PUE, and there's no power, and there's no word of wisdom. There's no revelation. It's just teaching line upon line, which is good, but that's not what this is. This is kingdom walkers here on earth. Who's in?
Me.
Me, me, me. Who's in?
Me.
You're not in? You in?
I'm in.
Me, me, me,
yeah.
Me, me.
Yeah.
We are all in. We're all in?
Yeah.
You in?
Yeah.
We're all in. You hear that, Lord?
Always.
We're all in.
We're
all in,
yeah.
And we want everything that you have already released. Teach us how to acclimate in the spirit realm. Let us recognize when we're totally fleshed out, and draw us back in to your sweet presence of peace. Because from there, we rule and reign as co-heirs in Christ, and that's how things get changed into the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any questions? Okay, I got to drink a little water. Christian witchcraft is very common. And what it is it's when somebody prays their will instead of God's will over a person. Here's an example. It's not a good example. Many years ago, I was going through a divorce and very active in the church. I went to my pastor and I said, I got to get out of these committees. Things are bad at home. They've been bad a long time. I came clean. And I didn't want a divorce, but the day came when the Lord said, tell your husband you want a separation. And I thought I was telling him so that it would scare him into changing. And he turned around and said, I'm getting a divorce. I'm going to take you for everything you have, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, the elders are praying for reconciliation. They're actually holding hands in their prayer meeting, believing that I would get back with my husband. Now, the Lord had clearly told me, tell your husband you want separation. I did not know he had started an affair. I didn't know any of that at that. I just was listening because I begged him, please, Lord, let me get a divorce. He said, no, no, no. And then the day came out of the blue, tell him tonight. And I was like, are you sure, Lord? I was going for a walk. I'll never forget it. He's like, tell him tonight. And so I went down. I was scared to tell him. And I went and told him. And he, you know, and then it got nasty. And while it was getting nasty, my heart was being tested and his heart was being tested. And we both failed miserably. But what happens is it draws you. It's created to draw you closer to the Holy Ghost and to listen for every step. Because I needed to know what to do and how to pray against those prayers of witchcraft, those Christian witchcrafts. You know, because it's what happens is it brings the spirit of confusion on me. And then I'd do the blood of Jesus, I'd break their word curses, and I'd render them null and void, because it wasn't what the Lord was saying.
So I think the crossover she wants to know is like the witches versus Christian. So you're saying because it was against God's will, it was a form of witchcraft.
Anytime somebody prays their will instead of the will of the Father, it's witchcraft. Because that means you know more than God. It's pride. Does that make sense? I'm just cutting it clear. Yeah. You know, we have to be careful the words we speak because they have a license to kill and destroy or bless and bring forth fruit. Another question? Okay. So let's just say you were involved in it. Let's just say you didn't know any better. And you said some prayer, whatever. I kind of feel I know what it is, but I'm going to just weave through here. Let's just say you were believing for somebody else to have a certain turn of events based on what you know. And now you know that possibly. Here, first thing I would do is say, Lord, is that witchcraft? Was that your will for that to happen? Or are you, you know, what are you saying in it? I get the heart of the Father first. And if I don't get the heart of the Father, I don't speak. I wait. And he'll eventually tell me whether I see it through the word or whether I see it through him talking to me personally. And then I test it. If it's a big thing, I test it a couple times and I make him tell me a couple more times just to make sure. But you got to be careful. It's not a familiar spirit telling you, pointing you to a scripture out of context. You know what I'm saying?
So you just, basically you pray for God's will on this situation. But say you did pray something that you thought was for the best. Now do you have to break it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and what I do is I say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I open my mouth before even asking you. I thought I knew best again, which I don't. I repent. I pour the blood of Jesus on those words. I render them null and void. And then I bless. I do the opposite of what I prayed. Let's just say I was believing God to restore a relationship. And then, restore a relationship. Then I later find out that it's not always what God wanted in that situation. So I repent. I break the words, and then I say, Lord, you know best. I don't even know what's best in this. I just ask you to, and then I'll pray in tongues a lot too, and then it just kind of opens up or does whatever it needs to do when you pray in tongues. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't carry guilt or shame. If I messed up, I messed up a lot. If I'm, the blood of Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it again, here I am. You know, I don't allow guilt or condemnation, not even on my property boundary, never. Will not come near me. I will never fight that battle. I just won't. Because I never open the door to it. Why would I want to? So does that make sense? Once you get a door closed, you don't want it opened again. Like when I broke my ankle real bad, smashed it all up. If I knew now what I didn't know then, I would have spoke differently over my foot. I learned from that accident. I was just saved and just getting, you know, seeing signs and wonders. I know now when I break a knuckle, I speak to the knuckle and I command it to go back and I don't give up until it does. When I broke my rib, pushing a safe, I cracked my rib, you know, I believe for healing. It didn't come right away. A week, I'm like, I'm in pain. I go to the doc, to the Walgreens and I'm looking at the wraps and I'm going to grab a wrap because it's been a week. It hurts every time you sneeze, cough, move. And I'm like, I go to get it, and the Holy Spirit says, do you really want that? Well, to me, that's an invitation for supernatural signs and wonders. I'm like, no, I don't want it. So I didn't buy it. If I would have bought it, that healing would have taken a lot longer, and I think I got healed that night in a service, if I remember right. Or if not, it was a couple days. Did this freak you out tonight?
No.
Okay, was this good?
Yeah.
Okay. I think something shifted. Yeah. This isn't me. Like, I feel like there's, like, we're in the, I don't know what it is, but he's preparing us for what's coming, and we got to deal with the stuff so that we can be translated. Practice the little stuff. Practice being kind. Amen? I love you guys. I'm so thankful that the Lord lets us come together and share our hearts and grow. I mean, I learned so much tonight. I can't wait to go after these two issues with the Lord. You know, does anybody got issues right now that they're thinking of that they want to go after? Just raise your hand if you have one. Okay, that's really good. Okay, yeah, I got two so far. You know, but here's the thing, when you tap in and you sit with the Lord and go, see, this is what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down, and I don't know if it's going to be tonight or tomorrow. I don't know. I'll know when I get home. I can plan it, but I got to be, there's a grace and an anointing. And so I'm going to sit in my chair without my phone, and I'm going to have a pad of paper, and I'm going to list those two things, and I'm going to say, what's going on with this? And I'll wait and I'll listen to what he has to say. And he might say, it's generational, let's deal with it, and we'll deal with it. Or he might say, I told you 7 years ago, and he may say this to me, he's done that before, go find that and bring that back to me and let's reason together over this. You know, I'm not sure, but I'm showing up is what I'm saying. Are you going to show up?
Yes.
So, Father, right now I thank you for tonight. I thank you for every heart in here. Lord, I ask you to keep the fiery darts away. Let what was spoke tonight stay and resonate in our heart and grow and cause us to want to know who our true identity is in you. Help us become kingdom-minded citizens, not just casual Christians or spirit-filled believers, but kingdom-minded citizens that rule and reign on earth and bring forth your packages into the earth. Lord, you're taking us deeper, and we say yes. We help us stick to the plan that you give us to deal with the issue that you want us to work on next. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.